Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience, with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Kim Jesus.
That there would be peace on earth. All creation, every power, every life would call on his name. Children, love has arrived, and you know the world will never truly be the same.
Jesus,
he's my refuge.
Jesus.
He's my tower, my friend.
Jesus.
He came to my rescue, and I don't understand it, but I know the love he's given me will never end.
There is joy in the world because my Savior reigns. He's the source of my strength. Lord of lords, King of kings, my salvation, my redeemer, in the face of all I fear, he is love without compromise, and I know that he's the reason that I'm standing here.
Jesus,
he's my Savior.
He gave me power, the faith to stand. Hey,
Jesus is.
never be alone again.
I want to talk to you about Jesus.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Save my life. When I couldn't stand
Jesus,
up straight.
Jesus, Jesus is the love of my life.
Couldn't sing the songs
Jesus,
I'd like to sing.
Jesus is the love.
I want to talk to you
about
Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus is the love of my life.
He gave me a change.
Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
If it wasn't for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The love of my life.
I wouldn't be here today if I don't deserve
Jesus,
it. Lord, I know that you
love
it.
So I just ask
you. Just ask Jesus.
And I keep on asking
just
Jesus.
Just ask Jesus.
The love of my life.
I know.
Jesus,
Lord, I know.
Jesus,
you set me free.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You can call on
you. You can call on
Jesus.
When you need a friend.
Jesus.
When your brother can't be found. You can call on
Jesus. You don't know like I know.
You can call on Jesus. Heavenly Father,
Lord,
I need in every way. Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Kim. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Also is Ron Isley and Patti LaBelle. And that's on that Christmas CD that I told you I love so much. We're getting ready for Christmas, family. All right, we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence on this whole universe. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names. And we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So in this right now moment, we come together. And as we invite and invoke the presence of God, we call on Jesus, thanking God for this opportunity to breathe another breath as we become intentional about the breath, because sometimes we forget to breathe, the family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so right now, I just want you to be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious, precious Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into this call right now, God. I ask you to come and make manifest the glory of the presence
of you in us in this right now moment, God. Father, Mother God of this great universe, I ask you to bestow your blessings upon us this morning, God. I'm asking for supernatural, explosive favor over our life, God. I'm asking for favor over those who are on their way to work, God, those who are getting ready for work, and those who are in the midst of their new assignment, God. I ask you to bless with supernatural, explosive favor, God. I ask you to come over, Holy Spirit, and bring your blessings upon your children this morning, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit. Bless our comings and our goings. Father, I'm asking for the type of blessings that our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, God. I'm asking you to come and bring your supernatural, explosive blessings over each and every person today, God. I'm calling forth a blessing in our bodies today, God, that every cell, every muscle fiber, every organ, every molecule, every living system in our being shall be touched by the blessings and the healing presence of your angels today, God. I call forth your legion of angels, God, asking the angels to lead us and guide us into our place of blessing today, God, that they may come and bring forth our soul's urging today, God, that we may hear the melodic sounds of your angelic family this morning, God. Oh, that you may bring forth a blessing through the presence of us today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come today, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and let us feel you in our being, in our consciousness, as we touch the hem of your garment, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come today, God, and do your will, God. Let thy will be done in us, as us, all around us, God, that our will be in alignment with your will, God, that we will be in the oneness of our understanding, of our direction, for the presence of this day, God, giving thanks, Holy Spirit, for this day, God, giving thanks for the unfolding of the present of this day, God, giving thanks, Holy Spirit, for all that is, God, giving thanks for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God, giving thanks for everything that is, God, giving thanks for even what we don't know what to give thanks for, God, giving thanks for those things that we ask for and we don't know how, because you said, God, all we need to do is get out our way, God. You don't need our help. You just need our permission, Holy Spirit. Oh, as we surrender to the presence of you right now, God, surrendering to the presence of you, giving you permission to have your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, you don't need our help, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, you say when we're down to nothing, you're always up to something, God. And I just give thanks, God, for all the gifts, all the reception, all the reciprocity, and all that will ever be that you will give into the awareness of who we are in this being, God. I just thank you for the enlarging of our territory this morning, God. Oh, God, I thank you for taking our hand and leading us and guiding us into that place of blessing, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful, Holy Spirit, for how you show up in our lives today, God. I thank you for your healing presence, God. I thank you for your healing presence in every area of our life, God. I thank you for opening up our finances, God. I thank you for healing our relationships, God. I thank you for blessing our children and putting them back on the track, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, that they will come into their knowing of who they came to the planet to be, God. Oh, God, I thank you for our children understanding that they are mighty in the land, God. Oh, and that they will operate in the gift and the purpose that you have so eloquently laid upon the foundation of this life for them, God. And I thank you for the gift and the present that they are to us, Holy Spirit. Just thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that is and all that will ever be. And I just give thanks as I release this prayer, God. Just give thanks. Just give thanks, knowing that nothing but good shall come forth today in our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ooh, and so it is. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Good morning, family. And welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Ooh, family. You know, growth, expansion, and next level living is a lie. It's a blessing, and it's a blessing, and it's a blessing. But to grow into your next level sometimes has some growing pain. I've been clearing out the clutter. I've been moving into that next level. I'm about to go on a 10-day silent retreat where there's no talking for 10 whole days, total meditation. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be gone for 10 days. My family, what's going to happen? But I tell you, I'm super excited about next level living. I'm super excited about what God is going to download into my spirit. And to be in relationship with myself for 10 whole days, silently being in the presence of me, silently being in the presence of who God is in my life and hearing. Whew, I tell you, but I give thanks for it. I give thanks because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. You have allowed me in the place and in front of you to just grow and expand and be led by spirit and be moved by the presence of what God is in my life. And so today, I just, from the bottom of my heart, profoundly give thanks. It's been an interesting whole week because this something is going on with the internet outside. And so they're supposed to came Monday. It was so rainy and thunderstorm, they couldn't do anything. Last week, it's been off for a whole week. And so I've been trying to do everything on the phone. And I'm like, God. But I'm, you know, perseverance, consistency. I'm not giving up. But I thank you, guys, for all that you are in my life. I thank you for this Love Journey family. Sending love out to King from Baltimore, letting him know that he is so loved by his family, his Love Journey family this morning. I just see him whole, perfect, and complete, and see him completing such great leaps and bounds of what God has planned for his life. Family, I want to go ahead and play Reverend Knight. I really wanted to play T.D. Jakes' Soar, but I couldn't upload it into the doggone Blog Talk, and I can't wait to play that for you. So we're going to be listening. It is so good. The Soar, oh, my God, it's so good. He was at my daughter's church last night, and I was watching his stream, and I just wanted to dance on top of the table as I was cleaning off that back porch and getting rid of clutter. And we're going to talk more about getting rid of clutter because I just ordered this book called The Message in Your Mess. How to reclaim your life by releasing clutter. I'm like, ooh. And it just clutter kept coming up. And even though my house is beautiful, I mean, it looks like a body of art, but that back porch and that back closet was the areas that I had not got to, like the front closet. I had cleaned out the closet and a lot of other places, but I hadn't got to that back porch because it was, this is bad, y'all. Let me just tell you. When you go in my children's room, do you know their room still look like it did when they were 15, 16? So, you know that's bad, right? Not bad, but you know that means I need to get changed and let go of some stuff, right? So I'm just saying that to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because I want to be the embodiment of what I teach. I want to walk what I talk. I don't want to talk the talk and not walk the walk. So we're going to be going through why it's important to release the clutter in our mind, our soul, and our bodies, and our physical presences. Meaning, why am I keeping stuff that no longer serves my higher purpose? Why am I holding on to stuff that's just sitting in that back porch for years and years and years and years? Why do my children's room still have everything they had? I mean, from clothes, books, shoes. Don't y'all laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. Oh, I had to laugh at myself last night when I was going through. I was aggravated because I didn't want to do it. But I said, I got to do it. Yesterday when I got off the line, that was my goal. So I was the whole day, bags all in the family room, going through boxes of stuff, throwing away stuff, going through piles to give away, putting books in piles to get, and purses that I haven't used in a while, let the beautiful purses that I gave. So I'm just saying, family, let's go into the 2018 with not so. And I know we do this a lot, but guess what? I know y'all ain't, yeah, I know some of you all out there just like me. Y'all cleaned out the front closet, you cleaned under your bed and you cleaned out, but you didn't clean out that back closet or that basement or that attic. I know it. So, and my girlfriend was like, well, I can send over a lady who gets rid of clutter. I'm like, no, she's going to try to get rid of too much of my stuff. I ain't ready for that yet. Oh, this is crazy. I said, God, why? All right, we're going to be listening to Reverend Ike this morning. I'm about to give me some tea because my throat is feeling some kind of way today, y'all. And this is called Prosperity and Beyond.
Are we ready? All right. We continue our prosperity series. And the lesson subject that I have selected of Jesus. And I'm going to read the subject proper and have you repeat it after me for the record. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus.
I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus.
I have no anxiety. Now let's read it twice more. I am
the prosperity consciousness of Jesus.
I don't know how long it's going to take in this lesson, because it's an infinite subject. Mark my words well. Organized Christianity does not really know who Jesus is. Jesus is not simply somebody who existed as an historic figure 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not simply a theological figure. Like everybody and everything else, Jesus is consciousness. And we're told in the scriptures, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Are you afraid to be who and what you are in God?
You are.
I think the average Christian is really afraid to accept his or her divinity. It's shocking.
Mm.
This is why Paul fell off of the beast. Now, I'd say differently if there weren't a lot of saints in here. This is why Paul fell off of the beast. Why? Because he heard the voice of self-revelation saying, I am Jesus. The theologians totally missed it. That was not Christology. That was self-revelation. That was the self-revelation of every believer in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, to believe in Jesus means to become Jesus in self-consciousness. It's a dangerous thing. It will knock you off of your beast. It will knock you onto your, like it did Paul. It's a shocking thing. It's a powerful thing. The intellect can't stand it. You see, Jesus is not someone else. And of course, in organized Christianity, for the most part, we have been taught and we think that Jesus is somebody else. Jesus is yourself understanding that I am the Christ. The one who is one. with the one God. Good. Love. Spirit. Divine mind. Now, if you really think that Jesus is somebody else, you do not know Jesus yet. That simple. Spoke to my son Bishop Jordan last night, and he'd just come back from Louisiana. He was down there teaching a lot of ministers, bishops, apostles, and so on. And he told him that. And I was just screaming at the things he told him. I said, "What?" And had them running around there saying, "I am money." But you see, the realization of I am is the ultimate step. When I came along preaching prosperity in the 60s and 70s, I was the worst thing going. I'm going to make another prophecy now. But you see, by now, a lot of other Christian people have taken that step. And you hear it all day long, all night on the television. Radio too. But the ultimate step is to become the very self-consciousness of I am God. I am Jesus. The Christian evangelists tell us that we should accept Christ. Absolutely. But how do they accept Christ as somebody else? If your God is somebody else, then you have an other God. If your God is somebody else, then you have an outer God. And what does the word say? You shall not serve other gods. And uses a very indelicate term, as the British would say. You shall not serve other gods to go a-whoring after them. The mind that believes in other gods is styled in the Bible as a whore. Why? Because that mind has intercourse with so many false ideas. And ideas that there are other gods, other powers. One of our basic statements here is there is but how many? One. One presence, one power. One mind, one reality, one totality, one. There is but one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One. And the mind that has more than one commits adultery. I'm talking about the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. The consciousness of Jesus. Interesting fellow. More books have been written about him than all of the other books on all of the other subjects in the world combined. Isn't that amazing? When I went to Bethlehem to visit the Church of the Nativity, which is built over the spot where supposedly Jesus was born, I saw these hundreds and hundreds of buses pulling up, people getting out from every nation under heaven, it seems. The Africans, the Germans, the British, the South Sea Islanders. And I said to myself as I watched that, I said, if I were an atheist, I would be in trouble today. I would at least have to ask myself the question, what is it about a little Jewish baby being born here 2,000 years ago that makes all these people come here? Many babies were born here. But you see, I've got to tell you Christians something that, again, disturb your doctrines. You see, the wise men, the wise minds, the three spiritual-minded self-consciousness had been charting his birth. They were astrologers. They wouldn't tell you all that in the church. Why? Because they came and said, where is he that is born king? For we have seen his star. Oh my goodness. In the east. And have come to worship him. And whenever you read the scriptures and the term east is used, it is an esoteric term. It's not just simply a term indicating spatial location. We've seen a star in the inner realms, in the heavenlies. And we know he's around here somewhere. Well, anyway, as we entered into the Church of the Nativity, I noticed that all the doors were cut short. And I wondered why. I thought, first of all of the doors were cut short to make people bow as they came in. But then the guide said to us, the reason the doors are cut short, it was to prevent the soldiers during the Crusades from riding their horses into the church. And so we went in, and over there is a metal Star of David with a candle burning in the center, and it is supposed to be marking the exact spot where Jesus was born. Well, you know, I'm not much of a kneeler, but when I approach that, my knees buckle. And Xavier got a picture of me kneeling in the Church of the Nativity at the star and the candle burning in the center of it. But I'm saying all of this to work up to saying that Jesus is not simply a historic personality. Jesus is not simply a theological personality. Jesus is not simply a figure of organized Christianity. Wow. You are hearing some heresy today. And I want you to notice the consciousness of Jesus and the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. Because in that consciousness is no anxiety about anything. Really, the only thing that Jesus carried around was consciousness. Now, we're going to get to the point where that's all we carry. As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, that's all you are anyway. That's all you have. Silver and gold have I none, said Peter. You got to understand it. But such as I am, I am is my money. I am the name, the nature of Jesus Christ. And I have no trust, no dependence, no hope in anything else to give you. You've been sitting here at this beautiful gate all of your life, ever since you came out of Earth Mother's womb. That's why he was lame. Everybody who comes from Earth Mother, who has the consciousness that they came from Earth Mother, every such mind is lame. All of Earth Mother's children are lame. But all of the Heavenly Father's children are healed, born out of sickness into health, born out of poverty into wealth, born out of want, lack, and limitation. Grave can't hold them. Walls can't separate them. You see, the first time you're born into this world, you're born from Earth Mother. When you're born again, you're born from above, from Earth Father. And the consciousness of Jesus teaches us that I and my Father are one. And it's interesting, Jesus, as he passed through the human experience, as I said before, and I want you to catch this, all he carried around with him was consciousness. I've gotten caught like that a few times myself, tested. Didn't have any of my gold cards, didn't have any of my platinum cards with me. I told you about this several times, and it bears repeating again and again so that you will understand. I want you to understand that you are nothing but I am God consciousness. I am the consciousness of the nature and the name of Jesus Christ. Now don't let the ego take it, because this I am has nothing to do with the ego. No man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Spirit. You can't say this in the flesh. You can't say, I am God, I am Jesus in the flesh. Some egos take that and go crazy. It'll knock you. It'll shake you. The man, the lame mind, sat at the beautiful gate ever since he came out of earth mother's womb. See, that's the esoteric meaning that the King James gives you, but everybody almost missed. A man born lame from his mother's womb. All of us came from mother's womb with something wrong. Some of us half crazy. Some know it and some don't. Do you know your craziness? If you don't, you are damn crazy. I think I know mine. And I think I got it under control. So, from the human point of view, a crazy person is a person that doesn't know they're crazy. Another little joke that may illustrate this a bit. It's said that at a mental hospital, they would bring the inmates out into the yard every day to get some fresh air and sun. So one of the inmates went to the fence and saw a man passing by and said, "Hey, buddy, come here." The man came over and he said, "Would you climb over this fence and stay here in my place until I get back?" But you look like an all right kind of guy. So I'll do you that favor. So the man climbed up over the fence, and the inmate climbed over. After a while, playtime was up, and the little truck came around to collect them to take them back. And so everybody got on the little truck except the man and climbed over the fence to take the place of the other guy. And so the driver said, "Come on, man, aren't you going to get on?" And the man said, "Oh, no." He said, don't put me in there." He said, "I'm not crazy." He said, "Oh, man, get in here. That's what they all say." But you have to understand me now. On the human level, all of Earth Mother's children have got some lameness. Some of it runs in the family. And you know, I told you how to get rid of it. Crossed it out and said, "This is where it runs the hell out." You know the stuff that's been running in your family. So this was the man born lame from Earth Mother's womb. And as Peter and John, faith and love, went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And all of this has esoteric symbol. He was lame. He was poverty stricken. He was dependent upon the material world. And he sat there every day begging. He was a mendicant. And this time, as Peter and John, faith and love, approached, the book says he stretched out his hand expecting to receive something. Well, you see, the law of expectation kicked in. He didn't really know what he was going to get, but he got more than he expected. That's a prophecy now. You're going to get more than you expect. If you're expecting good, you're going to get more than you expect. See, that's what God is about. That's what Jesus is about. "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more." You see, that's a part of the basis of our prosperity teaching here. You see, the consciousness of Jesus is about more. So the man stuck out his hand to Peter and John. And Peter said a very interesting thing. He said, "Now silver and gold have I none." Now, you have to understand that. Because Peter had all of the saints' money. He had all of the church money. Because in those days, when you became a Christian, you had to sell everything. I guess they were interpreting what Jesus told the rich young rulers. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. So they were required to sell everything. And they had to bring the price and lay it all at the apostles' feet. So he was loaded with everybody's money. So he wasn't saying, "I don't have any money." You see, as the Bible says of itself, it must be what? Rightly denied. "Silver and gold have I none," as I quoted to you a while ago, means I have no trust, no dependence in silver and gold or in materiality. I'm not trusting in materiality. And I'm not going to give you any materiality to trust in. But I'm going to give you such as I am. Now the King James says, such as I have, give I unto thee. But when you understand the esoteric implication here, it opens up a whole new understanding to you. I'm going to give you such as I have. I'm going to give you such as I am. What does that tell us? I only have such as I am. All that I can ever have is such as I am. Such as I am conscious of being. The whole visible world builds itself around your invisible self-image. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to put it in the first person. My entire visible world builds itself around my invisible self-image. What is that? What I believe I am. What I say I am. What I see, imagine that I am. Now, we're good around here about telling you how to get what you want. And that works. But there's a higher way. If you want something, first of all, see yourself as the person who is that. See yourself as the person who has that. And you do that by affirmation and denial, like I gave the young boy that I talked about a few lessons ago, who leaned over to me wheezing and said, Reverend Ike, I have asthma. And I gave him such as I am. In my mind, I saw him as a boy who had no asthma. Are you following me now? And what did I do? I transferred that self-image to him. I transferred that gift from I am to him. And he took it. Because all of his life he had been seeing himself, how? As a boy with asthma. He couldn't go to school. He couldn't live a normal life. He was wheezing and shrunken for his age. Why? He saw himself as a boy that had asthma. I'm being laborious with you. This is not, as I told you, an intellectual exercise. I want you to get it. Are you getting it? Because this is for you to apply right here. He'd never seen me before. I'd never seen him before. He was like the man at the gate. Reverend Ike, I have asthma. Son, I see in you a boy who has no asthma. What did I give him? I gave him the name of a boy who has no asthma. What's your name for yourself? See, that child's name for himself was asthma. See, the world gives us so many lying names, so much false identity. Anytime anybody calls me a black preacher, especially when I used to do those television designs, correct them right away. I said, if you're going to use a color, call me green. What is your name for yourself? What does it mean? What is the nature of your thought about yourself? Now, you need to write this down and cross-examine yourself about this week. When I did that infomercial in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a few years ago, I asked an audience of mixed cultured people, what is money? One very lovely young lady, a model, an actress, stood up and said, something I don't have, what a name to give yourself. My mother used to sing that lovely Christian hymn, take the name of Jesus with you. You child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Leave the sorrow, leave the woe, and take the name of Jesus. You see, I'm talking about the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. Silver and gold have I not. I have nothing but the name, the nature of divine oneship. And in that I have everything. In that, I can pull money out of the fisher's mouth. If there's one thing I want to do, is to strip you down to consciousness. You're not Brown, you're not Jones, but I am the Christ. the one who is one, with the ever-loving, ever-living God. I heard a wonderful minister praying, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a radical thing. That's a dangerous thing. If you understand it, because when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, at that moment, you are saying, I am Jesus. The Christologists never understood that. The Christian theologians never understood that. In the name of Jesus, you're saying, I am Jesus. Isn't that radical? Now, maybe when you say that again, and I think I heard some of you say that in the prayer treatment here, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I want you to understand, when you say, in the name of Jesus, you're saying, I am Jesus, you are saying, I have stepped into the very self-consciousness of Jesus. I have stepped into the very self-consciousness of the one mind who is one with God. I'm not talking about an other. I'm talking about the consciousness of Jesus. I'm talking about the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. Everywhere that Jesus went while he was in a physical body on this earth, he took his self-conscious oneness with God with him. And because of that, he was able to defeat death, hell, and the grave. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Okay, now. In the name of I am Jesus is your passport. It is your platinum credit card. That's good anywhere in the universe. It is good in earth as it is in heaven. You see, the name, the consciousness, I am Jesus, obtains in earth as it does in heaven. It is in the name of I am Jesus that we may call down heaven. Oh my. Oh, let me tell you, if you get into the consciousness of Jesus Christ, you become dangerous. And Jesus told the soldiers that came to arrest him, he said, you know, if I wanted to, I could have my Father send legions of angels. Why? Because I am Jesus. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And anything you do to me, it's just because I submit myself. You see, and all that hell you catching and the way people are treating you, it's because you've submitted yourself. Uh-oh. But you don't have to. See, Jesus consciously submitted himself. I want you this week to get a sense of your I am God consciousness as all that you have. But at the same time, it is all that you need. It is more than you need. As I said, everywhere Jesus went, he took one thing, his self-conscious oneness with God. That's all I am, that's all I have, that's all I need. It is enough, it is more than enough, it becomes water. That's why he could say, I am the water. If I need bread, all I have to do is say, I am bread. If I want to feed 5,000, 30,000, all I have to do is take it, the idea into my hands and look up and say, thank you, Father. Thank you. And here comes the bread already baked. The fish already fried. Oh, look out here now. Already scaled. Already gutted. With the lemon already squeezed on top. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give God. Take the name. Take the consciousness. Take the nature of the consciousness of the Son of God with you. You'll find out that people just start giving you things. People who never saw you before, and they don't even know why. People will start doing things for you. And you don't even know why. And you don't have to know. All of your business that's been stuck will unstick. Oh, I'm prophesying. You'd better take this. You'd better praise God for this now. I think it is well that I repeat what I've told you several times about the last time I went to Paris. That Sunday I had preached here from the subject, I am money. And as I told you again, five people prepared me that day before we went to the airport to be sure that everything I needed was packed and on my person, all of my tickets and all of that. And one person went with me. And when we were landing in Paris, I discovered I had no cash. No credit card. You see, every once in a while, do not be surprised when you are tested. Some people, when they get tested, they backslide. As soon as somebody says something about you, get offended. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's not what you say about me, it's who I say I am. The Father is always asking you, who are you? You tell me. Don't even let your mama tell you who you are, because she don't know. Jesus had to remind his mama when she said, boy, where were you? Why weren't you playing with the other kids? We thought you were with your cousins. We thought you were with your brothers. And why did you do this to us? We had to turn all the way back and come back up to Jerusalem. Find you here in the temple. Why did you do that? Jesus looked at his mama and said, don't you know? King James says, wist thou not. In modern languages, don't you know? You ought to know. You're supposed to be my divine intuition. You see, because Jesus was born out of the womb of divine intuition. Again, the church doesn't understand a virgin birth. They think it's a biological thing. It's not. It's spiritual. Don't you know? You know that I was born out of divine intuition. The consciousness of the Christ has to be born out of your divine indwelling intuition. God has also put within you, you see, the divine mother to give birth to your consciousness of the Christ, to give birth to your self-consciousness of the Christ. So Jesus said, don't you know? I must be about my Father's business. It was by spiritual self-intuition that I came into this world. But now, after Mother brought me here, I've got to be about Father's business. I've got to be in the temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, of challenge, of testing, he will hide me in his pavilion. He'll put me where the devil can't find me. Oh, yeah. As the church they used to say, in the Word of God, I've got a hiding place. In the Word of God. In the time of trouble, he will hide me. The devil can't get his hands on me. Liars can't lie me down. Talkers can't talk me down. He will hide me in his pavilion and set me up. When God sets you up, nobody can pull you down. When God sets you up, nothing can tear you down. He will set me up upon a rock. The rock of faith in God. The rock of I am the Christ. The one who is one with the ever living, ever loving God. And now is my head, my thinking, my thought, my faith lifted up above all my enemies, round about. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle praises in the Word of God. 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 In his holy, holy Word. In his holy, holy Word. I'm talking about the consciousness of Jesus, the prosperity consciousness of Jesus, that they prepared me to go to Paris, did everything humanly possible, but I found out while I was landing that I didn't have any cash or any credit cards. And then the intellect started in on me. Said, uh-huh. You preached to those people last Sunday and said, I am money. Now you don't have any. Said, worse than that, you're landing here and you don't even speak the language. Unless you're going to talk in other tongues. You don't even speak the language. And you know you're going to check in that hotel, and the first thing they want to see is a credit card. Any of you who ever traveled, you know that's what they want to see, a credit card. They don't even want to see a suitcase full of cash. They want to see a credit card. Hey, no credit card, you don't check in. So I said, okay, God. Sunday, I told those people I am money, and I am going to prove that today. If I don't prove it, I'm not going back to preach anymore. Now, I told you that every once in a while I call God on the carpet. You know, go around here talking about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There comes a time to show and tell. Let me tell you, there's time to show and tell. So I told Jesus, okay, I told the folks I am money. And I gonna be money today. I am not preaching another sermon. So we got to the carousel, and the carousel was located so I could look right out of the glass there, and I saw out there a kind of a car I never saw before. I saw a Peugeot limousine. Came after me. Swing low, sweet Peugeot, coming for to carry me on. Swing low, sweet Peugeot, coming for to carry me on. I looked over yonder, what did I see? A long Peugeot coming after me,
coming for to carry me home.
So they got my baggage and put me in that limousine, and we went on to the Grand Hotel, and I went up to the desk and told them who I was, called the holy name. And they did something I've never seen before, not since. They checked me in and never asked for a credit card, never asked anything else. Let me hear you say pure consciousness. Say it again. It was the consciousness of I am money. Because before you check in there, you have to prove that you have money. They don't check people and they don't have money. As a matter of fact, what they do at those hotels, they get a line of credit on you from the credit card company. And they put a hold on X amount of your funds. So that they're sure that when you leave, you will not leave them holding the bag. But for me that day, it was pure consciousness. I am money. I had just preached that here. So that was in my consciousness. Jesus carried everything around, as I said, in his consciousness. And this is what he meant when he said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll be telling you about and quoting this scripture again and again and again and again. Consciousness is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in which all good consists, and from which all good exists. I want to say it again and have you repeat it after me. God's self-consciousness is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in which all things consist, in which all good consists, and from which all good exists. You see, in order to get something to exist, you have to go where it consists. Sometimes we can get so busy trying to make it exist that we don't go where it consists. That new house that you want, you can't make it exist until you first go to consciousness where it consists. You have to go to the kingdom of consciousness, the kingdom of God's self-consciousness. Let me hear you say the kingdom of God's self-consciousness. This is what Jesus had. This was the consciousness of Jesus. He went to the wedding feast. What did he take with him? God's self-consciousness. You never caught him without it. Never leave home without it. Take the name of Jesus with you. There's another song from the church. Take the Lord God with you everywhere you go. Take the Lord God with you. Take the Lord God with you. Take the Lord God with you. I want you to test consciousness perhaps as never before. Jesus took God's self-consciousness with him to the wedding feast. And they ran out of wine. Now, if you're going to run out, be sure you run into Jesus. Hey! They ran out of wine. So embarrassing. One of the worst things that could happen. But the wine ran out. But then somebody ran into Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh! I want all of you to run into Jesus this week. I want you to run into Jesus like you never ran into Jesus before. Stand up and shout, I ran into Jesus, and then sit back down. When they ran out, then they ran into Jesus. Somebody said, don't we have run out of wine? Somebody said, oh, but look, I see Jesus over there. They tell me he's a blind man healer. They tell me he's a deaf ear unstopper. I even heard that he raises the dead. Let me everybody say Jesus. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but did I see Jesus over there? They tell me he knows how to get money out of the fish's mouth. Yeah! And if he can do all of that, he ought to be able to do something about this wine business. They said, well, I don't know how to go and ask him that. They said, well, that's all right, then there's his mama over there. Ask his mama. See, some of you don't understand our Catholic friends. Sometimes they ask Jesus' mama, Holy Mary, Mother of God. We need some wine. Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women. Blessed are the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Well, you Protestants don't understand that. So they went and asked his mama. That, divine indwelling intuition. She said, they need some wine. And he turned that water to wine. And it was better than the wine they had at first. Everything Jesus does, he does it better. See, Jesus was the very self-consciousness of wine. Let's stand now. Everything that you need is in the self-consciousness of God. And you will get to the point, just like Jesus said, where you have no anxiety. You will get to the point where you have no anxiety.
get to the point where if you need wine, you'll turn on the spigot. It'll come out of the spigot. You get to the point, if you need money, you put on your clothes and find your pockets stuffed with money. I'm telling you what I've experienced. In the 60s in Washington, D.C., in the room by myself, nobody but me and Jesus. But you see, when you run into Jesus, some freaky things start happening. He does freaky things. Like turning water to wine. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Unstopping deaf ears. Making the blind see. And the dumb talk. And the lame walk. I was in that hotel room by myself, got up the next morning and put on my suit and found money stuffed into the pocket of the jacket. The bank wrapper's already on the money. It wasn't even jumbled up. I wouldn't have cared if it was. All counted out and wrapped up. Yeah, I know somebody said, oh yeah, you had that money in there, you forgot about it. The hell I did. I don't forget about money. Next morning I got up and put on another jacket. Guess what I found? I said, nobody but Jesus did that. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord.
Nobody but you.
Nobody but the Lord.
Nobody but you.
All right, this week some freaky good things are going to happen to you. Go around with the consciousness of Jesus. What did Reverend Ike tell us? Reverend Ike told us the first place you get anything in your mind. And it's got to come. Go where it consists, and it must exist. Place your hands in a receptive position. This week be I am Jesus. I dare you. Now don't tell anybody else. They'll think you're crazy. And you are. I told Jesus,
be all right.
If he changed my name, and now go forth in the name of I am Jesus.